The Nature Podcast is supported by Nature Plus, a flexible monthly subscription that grants immediate online access to the science journal Nature and over 50 other journals from the Nature portfolio. More information at go.nature.com/plus.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this podcast extra. Science got a little bit glitzy this week, as it always does this time of year, because this happened.
The 2016 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine.
This year's Nobel Prize in Chemistry.
This year's Nobel Prize in Physics. And as usual, we'll do it both in Swedish and in English.
Joining us to talk about the Nobels is Senior News Editor Richard Van Norden.
Hi, Kerry.
Welcome. Now, we're going to do these in order of difficulty. Most difficult first, and then we're going to slide down the scale towards the easiest to understand.
It's really only possible to understand the physicists who won the Nobel by the medium of analogy. And the Nobel Committee chose the analogy of baked goods. And Thor's Hans Hansen, a member of the committee, pulled out a cinnamon bun, a bagel and a pretzel to explain what it was that the Nobel winners had done.
Now, for us, you know, these things are very different. This is sweet, this is perhaps salty, different shapes, etc. But if you are a topologist, it's only one thing that is really interesting with these things in which they differ. This thing has no hole. The bagel has one hole. The pretzel has two holes.
Richard, why are we talking so much about holes?
Well, what he was trying to explain was the mathematical theory of topology. And it was this theory that the physicists Michael Kostelitz, David Thewlis and Duncan Haldane used to understand very weird, strange states of matter in thin slices in two dimensions.
Just before we hammer out how this relates to physics, could you just give us a 101 on topology?
Topology describes properties that remain unchanged if an object is deformed but not torn. That was the idea with the pastries. The bagel with one hole is topologically the same as, say, a coffee cup that has one hole. You could imagine deforming them into each other, but you're not allowed to tear them. But the Swedish pretzel with two holes is a fundamentally topologically different thing. Now, in different ways, these Nobelists showed how the concept of topology effectively protects some unusual states of matter.
And these, as it pertains to the prize at least, these are in two-dimensional materials that might end up giving them crazy properties like superconductivity, for instance.
Right. So in the 1970s, researchers believed that order in a 2D material was impossible. That's ordered atoms. Because thermal fluctuations would destroy any ordering. They'd just be like a chaotic jumble of atoms, even at temperatures close to absolute zero. But Thewlis and Kostelitz showed that materials could switch between states with different topologies, could switch between a bagel state to a pretzel state, as it were, in a thin 2D material. And these sort of ordered states didn't get destroyed by thermal fluctuations because they were effectively being deformed but not destroyed. And using this model, which all sounds a bit abstract, they showed in theory superconductivity could occur at low temperatures. So a thin slice of material could conduct electricity without any resistance. But this effect would disappear at higher temperatures, and they explained why this topological phase transition would occur. That theory turned out to apply to loads of 2D materials. Why is any of this interesting or useful?
Please tell me, Richard.
Well, Haldane's work is being explored as robust ways to encode information in a quantum computer. If you want to have a really robust electron spin or half spin, and you want the collective motion of electrons to always give you that, you can take advantage of the fact that that's a kind of topologically robust state. Meanwhile, the work done by Thewlis and Kostelitz, that's being applied in things called topological insulators, which are they're just bulk materials. They're insulating in the middle, but they conduct around the edge, which is really weird.
Can you think of a good baking analogy for this too? Because we've been through bagels and pretzels and cinnamon buns, but I mean, maybe we could call this a quiche, a topologically insulating quiche.
Well, it could be a pie where the crust can conduct electrons, but the bit in the middle can't. for fans of the Great British Bake Off.
Thank you for referencing that show. We never have before in the podcast. We possibly never will again. It sounds like these guys have waited quite a long time for this prize. Lots of these discoveries date to the 80s at least. Some people's prediction was for LIGO and gravitational waves, relative newcomers to the scene, to win the prize.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought LIGO was going to win. And I'll reveal a little secret. We had written a story about LIGO winning, which we were not able to use. But maybe we'll roll it out next year. And it may just be that it was too soon for the Nobel Committee to award the prize. The announcement about the gravitational waves was actually this year. In fact, after nominations closed to the Nobel. However, the detection was known by some people as far back as December, and no doubt probably the Nobel Committee would have known too. So I think they could have awarded it to the trio who essentially designed, built and conceived of the LIGO experiment.
All right, moving on then to our second most difficult, although in your opinion, Richard, the Medicine or Physiology Prize and the Chemistry Prize are sort of level pegging in terms of difficulty, and they're both rather nice. Let's start with chemistry, which goes to tiny little molecular machines.
Yeah, I mean, this is really cute. This prize went to three chemists who basically designed these intricate nanomachines. They made motors, shuttles, knots, chains, pumps, switches, and even a nano car. These are amazing nanometer scale, so 10 to the minus 9 if you're counting in powers of 10, machines that don't operate in the same way that our large normal scale machines do. But incredible chemistry to put these stuff together. And may find application, perhaps in computer memory, perhaps in machines that can deliver drugs inside your body. But I have to say that none of this has happened yet.
It seems unbelievable that the biology-based prize, medicine or physiology prize, could go to something even easier to explain than a molecular machine. But this is the order we've put them in. And this is for a process called autophagy, which is sort of like recycling, isn't it?
Autophagy comes from the Greek literally for self-eating. And it's about how the cell eats its own parts, recycles them, gets rid of debris. This is actually probably quite familiar, I think, to biologists. And this was a Nobel Prize awarded for work done quite a long time ago in the 1990s when Yoshinori Osumi, a Japanese biologist, worked out the mechanisms and the genes that drive autophagy. It actually goes a long way further back. It was back in 1963 that a Belgian biochemist, Christian de Duve, saw cells breaking down their parts, and he coined this term autophagy, and he also invented a word for the sort of waste processing sac that was doing this, which he called the lysozyme. But people kind of thought this is just a garbage disposal system. It's like junk that the cell needs to crunch down. And what Osumi showed using yeast was, first of all, what genes are involved in this system, and that it wasn't just garbage disposal. It's a lot more important than that. So first of all, cells can use it to clear out invaders like bacteria and viruses. They can also, when they're starved, when there's no food coming in, they can use it to consume their own proteins for fuel. In 1999, Beth Levine reported that an autophagy gene that Osumi had found could suppress the growth of tumours. So suddenly this fundamental process is being linked to cancer. And disruptions in autophagy have been linked to Parkinson's disease, type 2 diabetes and other disorders. And research is ongoing to develop drugs that can affect autophagy. I mean, Osumi himself was essentially not thinking about this at all. He was thinking about basic science. He just liked using microscopes and worked on yeast. And he has his lovely quote he told his institute, the Tokyo Institute of Technology, in 2012. He said, "You can answer the most basic and important questions about the nature of life through yeasts."
I'm pleased, Richard, with that quote about yeast that you've returned us to the beginning, to the baking analogy that we began with, because yeast is fundamental indeed to much research and also delicious cooking. Thank you for joining us to explain this year's Nobels.
Deep dive into the world of science with Nature Plus. From the vastness of the distant star systems to the intricacies of infectious diseases due to climate change, we've got you covered. Enjoy access to over 55 cutting-edge journals, breaking scientific news, and over 1,000 new articles every month. Whether you're a seasoned researcher or just curious, Nature Plus simplifies complex studies. Plus, it's all available right at your fingertips on nature.com. Nature Plus. the key to unlocking the world's most significant scientific advances. Subscribe today at go.nature.com/plus.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.